Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we covered the topic of umbilical cord prolapse found under the obstetrics section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 30-year-old G1P0 woman of 38 weeks gestation presents to the hospital with contractions. In the labor and delivery room, she undergoes rupture of membranes. Shortly after, the fetal heart monitor reveals variable decelerations. A vaginal exam is conducted, and the umbilical cord is palpated between the presenting part of the fetus and the cervical os. An ultrasound is done to confirm this diagnosis. As intrauterine manipulation is attempted, the fetal heart monitor demonstrates bradycardia. The patient is prepped for a cesarean section. Let's continue with an introduction to umbilical cord prolapse. As a general overview, umbilical cord prolapse results from umbilical cords that present anterior to the presenting part of the fetus, causing it to protrude first from the cervical os. This is an obstetrical emergency, as compression or occlusion of the umbilical cord will lead to fetal oxygen deprivation. Treatment is usually emergent delivery. In terms of the epidemiology, this is rare and occurs between 0.16 to 0.18% of live births. Risk factors include obstetrical interventions in 50% of cases. This includes manual rotation of the fetal head, iatrogenic rupture of membranes, and forceps or vacuum delivery. Other risk factors include malpresentation, a low-lying placenta, prematurity, polyhydramnios, and a prolonged labor. In terms of the pathogenesis, it is unclear but may be related to increased outward flow of amniotic fluid during rupture of membranes. Moving on to the presentation, common symptoms include an abrupt onset of fetal rhythm abnormalities. This may include bradycardia and variable decelerations. It occurs after rupture of membranes or obstetrical intervention and is usually painless. On exam, one may be able to visualize the umbilical cord ahead of the presenting fetus. In terms of further imaging, ultrasound is indicated when there is suspected diagnosis of umbilical cord prolapse. Findings include the umbilical cord being visualized between the presenting fetus and the cervical os. In terms of the differential, make sure to think about abruptio placentae, with key distinguishing factors being that this may also present with fetal heart rate changes, but is characterized by vaginal bleeding and abdominal pain. With regards to treatment, medical options include intrauterine manipulation to free the fetus. This is indicated as the initial treatment. Modalities include elevating the presenting part and changing the maternal position, such as being placed in Trendelenburg. Surgical options include immediate delivery via cesarean section. This is indicated if intrauterine manipulation is not successful. It is also indicated if there is fetal or maternal distress. Complications related to umbilical cord prolapse include fetal mortality. Remember that there is about a 0 to 3% mortality rate. And lastly, with regards to prognosis, remember that there is a worse prognosis if the prolapse occurs outside of the hospital. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to umbilical cord prolapse, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 28-year-old G1P0 woman at 42 weeks gestation is admitted to the maternity ward for induction of labor. She states that her prenatal care has been notable for gestational hypertension. She has been taking her multivitamin daily. She feels fetal movement and denies any vaginal bleeding. Her temperature is 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit or 37 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 107 over 54. Pulse is 72 beats per minute. And respirations are 20 breaths per minute. Her cervix is 0 centimeters dilated, and the fetus is in the cephalic position. The fetal heart monitor demonstrates a heart rate of 130. She agrees to have an epidural catheter placed for analgesia. Shortly thereafter, amniotomy is performed. No vaginal bleeding is observed. While attending to documentation of the procedure, the nurse calls your attention to a change in the fetal heart monitor, which demonstrates variable decelerations. What is the most likely cause for this finding? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, epidural analgesia. Choice 2, cord compression. Choice 3, vasoprevia. Choice 4, fetal head compression. Or choice 5, uteroplacental insufficiency. The best answer to this question is choice 2, cord compression. The fetal heart rate tracing reveals variable decelerations in this post-term woman following an amniotomy. Variable decelerations are most likely due to umbilical cord compression. Variable decelerations are non-reassuring fetal heart patterns. They fall and rise abruptly with the onset and relief of cord compression, unlike the gradual fall and rise of early and late decelerations. A vaginal exam may demonstrate a prolapsed cord, there may be bradycardia, or both, as the cord is compressed. Initial management includes repositioning the patient into a knee-to-chest position and possible amnioinfusion to minimize cord compression. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Epidural analgesia can cause fetal heart rate variability for a transient period of time, but it does not cause sustained variable decelerations. Choice 3. Vasoprevia is associated with bradycardia and late decelerations. Choice 4. Fetal head compressions are associated with early decelerations, but not sustained variable decelerations. Choice 5. Uteroplacental insufficiency is associated with late decelerations. Finally, a bullet summary. Variable decelerations are reflex mechanisms caused by umbilical cord compression. That's all for this review about umbilical cord prolapse. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.